Welcome back. It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show podcast. This episode, I'll be talking about something that has been, kind of a problem for over 100 years, but has recently, in the wake of all of the attention that Maui has been getting, has been rearing its ugly head more and more when it comes to, a lot of facets of Hawaiian culture. Before we dive into any of that, let me go ahead and give a brief intro of who I am. My name is Shaggy Jenkins. I am a radio broadcaster, have been for over 27 years. I keep forgetting when I started in radio. But anyway, I've been a podcaster forever, too, and a guy that is mired in the, I guess you could say, the circumstances that have been trending everywhere, the aftermath of the Maui wildfires. Now, in previous podcasts, I have discussed everything from the impact and, how volunteer efforts have been going, dangers going forward, planning, historical context, and all kinds of things. I mean, we even discussed arborism, and I mean, you would be surprised how much I had to read about trees for that episode. So if you've not heard any of this stuff, feel free to go back and listen to some of the previous episodes. Now, they're not going to really impact your understanding of today, because today is something that it's not a new phenomenon. It's not a new story. It's nothing that we've not seen before. Even in people as old as me, my entire life, I have been witnessing this. But it's really come to kind of a head in the aftermath of the wildfires. I'm talking, of course, about monetizing the Hawaiian culture without benefits to the Hawaiian people. Okay, now this is going to dive into some sensitive subjects like cultural appropriation, examples of monetization and exploitation, and impacts on indigenous communities. So just be warned, this is not going to be a show for people that have a sensitive listening palate. But first, let's just dive in, okay? Ever since the overthrow ever since first contact has made with the Hawaiian nation, you could say that people of the Eurocentric background have kind of always thought that, my God, isn't those Hawaiian people neat? Let's just, kind of adopt some of their policies. Now, when I say policies, I mean that in kind of like a old world diplomatic thing. The Hawaiian nation was kind of notorious for their impact in the Pacific Rim as far as how they negotiated treaties, things like that, trades. And I mean, the Hawaiian nation, just if you've never, ever really taken time to look into the history of it, I encourage you to. It is fascinating how far advanced they were over some Western cultures, including our own. But getting back into this whole contact thing, you could say the Europeans and the Americans liked Hawaii so much that they eventually overthrew it. Yeah, there was this whole kind of thing where America came in and said, hey, we're going to take over your country, but it wasn't really America. And then the real American president heard about, it was a very complicated story. And let's just go ahead and say that on the international court level, the annexation of the Hawaiian nation is still a hot subject. But I'm not going to get into that. Instead, I've got to talk about what happened in the immediate aftermath of the August 8th wildfires here on Maui. And that is where this episode starts. Okay, so first of all, Maui has been trending because we've had a massive tragedy. And as of the recording of this episode, I'm actually happy to say that the death count got lowered from 115 to 98 confirmed. And I know you're like, You're happy for that? That's still 98 people dead. Yes, but it's not 115. And this has been an enormous tragedy for the community of Maui. But this tragedy also has kind of another unraveling tragedy happening on top of it. You see, when it comes to the wildfires here, the ones that happened in upcountry, the ones that happened in the west side, those had a disproportionate effect on the indigenous Hawaiian community than it did the residents from other areas' community, shall we say. You know, because there is kind of a complicated story of the haves and have-nots, and it's too much to get into. However, this we can focus on. When I say that there has been a disproportionate effect on indigenous communities here, that effect goes further than what they lost in the wildfires. You see, and I covered this on a previous podcast, there is kind of a movement after a disaster to kind of cash in on it. There's a lot of feelings and things involved. And if you just put a small little blurb that says a portion of the proceeds will go towards victims of blah, 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 people will be more incentivized to buy your product. Now, that is regardless of the percentage of the proceeds of your profits that you're actually giving. And I mean, that's also just company to company something that varies. The exploitation of the situation, though, isn't something that varies. You see, in the initial aftermath of the Maui wildfire disasters, of course, there is a lot of outpouring of local support for local businesses. I myself, on social media, kind of maintain this whole Google form list of Maui businesses that you can support just by going there and clicking on. You can shop online. You don't even have to be on Maui to support these local businesses. However, there was a lot of business in the greater world that started to notice this trending of these key words, Lahaina, Maui, Hawaii, and you know, those are the things, and I think I covered this in the previous podcast as well, those are the things that the AIs and the print-on-demand people picked up quite hilariously wrong at times. But at the same time, you know, it is kind of the example of Hawaii is trending, and now people are trying to cash in on that trend, despite the trend being a massive tragedy. So yeah, people are trying to cash in on a trend that is actually based on exploiting a tragedy. They are monetizing the awareness of these, well, things happening here on Maui. And you know, let's just be honest, they're cashing in. It's what people do. Humans are inherently greedy for some reason, and that, I guess, is the history of capitalism as we know it. Here's the thing, though. How much of all of this money that is getting raised off of, let's just be honest, the exploitation, once again, of the Hawaiian Islands, how much of this money is actually going back to indigenous Hawaiians? Because that is where things get kind of fuzzy. You see, trying to trace, like, how many businesses out there are trying to, you know, say that they're releasing these products, doing these different travel packages and things like that, and a portion of those proceeds go back to Maui victims. What victims are we talking about? Because I'm going to go ahead and say, disproportionately, it is not the indigenous Hawaiian community. Now, keep in mind, this isn't just about the money and everything like that. No. Remember how I started this whole episode off with talking about a very long history of this going on? You see, this is nothing new. And that is the real tragedy that is unfolding in the aftermath of an already really big tragedy. You see, year after year, decade after decade, and I even remember saying this when I was talking to my wife about, you know, the ways that as a kid in North Carolina, and I'd never been to Hawaii before, ways that I was exposed to what Hawaii was all about, and I said, Don Ho on the Brady Bunch. That was also kind of an example of, you know, cultural appropriation, misinforming people outside of Hawaiian culture, what Hawaii culture was all about. You know, it's kind of the thing that has happened ever since the overthrow. It's not just about the monetary effects here. This goes far, far deeper into very, very deep emotional hurt. And let's just be honest, kind of a cultural genocide that's been happening to Hawaiians forever. You could almost say longer than a century. But the thing that really is kind of noticeable right now is that when it comes to cultural sensitivity, it doesn't seem that a lot of people outside of Hawaiians and Hawaiian culture that is, you know, endemic to living on the Hawaiian Isles, instead of a lot of sensitivity being shown to them, it's more of a asking the victims of cultural appropriation to understand why you're appropriating their culture. Now, I wish that there was a concise guidebook that you could put down on how individuals and businesses could approach cultural exchanges responsibly, especially when dealing with an already overexploited culture that just happens to be trending at the moment in the wake of a tragedy. I know you kind of keep hearing me say that over and over again, but let's not forget that all this awareness on the situations here on Maui came in the aftermath of a huge wildfire, and people cashing in on that should kind of bother you a little bit. Now, like I said, I wish there was a perfect guidebook, but there isn't. The thing is that a lot of conversations with the indigenous culture of Hawaii has not happened with the current population of Hawaii. There's many different cultures here in these islands right now, so it's very hard to say it's kind of an us versus them scenario, but the conversations that need to happen within those cultures and how they can all, grow their awareness as well as their economies within those cultures responsibly, those conversations need to happen. There needs to be some sort of open dialogue. There needs to be actually a push on public education and education in general when it comes to cultural sensitivity. But that is a long laundry list of things that we need to kind of fix in modern society. Getting back to the whole crux of what this is directly about, though, there is a definitive difference between cultural appreciation versus cultural appropriation. Okay? It's okay to admire a culture for what it does. It is not okay to wholesale lift parts of that culture into your own without full understanding of the spiritual, historical, and cultural significance of those things. Now, I mean, the one that always gets tossed around the most, and I'm not talking about all the kind of crazy videos you see of people chanting that ho'oponopono thing. No. The one thing that gets tossed around the most, and this is especially annoying, is aloha. Because a lot of people, when they're not familiar with the whole concept of Hawaiian culture, aloha is simply a greeting, or it is a dismissal or a goodbye. or it means love. And the thing is it is way deeper than those English words that I just vomited out could actually be told. However, when it comes to the modern application of what people think aloha is, they think it's just simple courtesy to the visitors. And that's why, you know, we always hear about tourists saying, where is your aloha? We always hear about transplants saying, where is your aloha? And things like that. But that's just it. It's not a product. It's not something that can be diffused down into that one little meaning. Aloha is part of a deeper culture of the Hawaiian people. And honestly, you can appreciate them for having that. You really can't take it for your own culture because that's appropriation. And I am going to go ahead and tell you that 100% of the time any other culture has tried to incorporate something from Hawaiian culture into it, it has always been appropriation, not appreciation. And the thing is that the cultural appreciation, which, you know, for the longest time, especially in the wake of the Mauna Kea protest that happened not too long ago, the cultural appreciation has luckily started to grow. The cultural awareness, especially in younger generations of Indigenous Hawaiians, has started to be taught more and more and more. And keep in mind, there has always been this kind of a white privilege of people of European and American descendancy being able to read about Hawaii and learn about hula and stuff like that when those acts were illegal for Indigenous Hawaiians. It's all good to go to the luau and get in this watered-down version of what a hula is and what hula means to the greater culture. However, it is so terrible that that is the depth of understanding that most people have for Hawaiian culture. Now, there is a lot of ways that you could promote some sort of cultural exchange. Like I said, especially in what I would like to think is this burgeoning Hawaiian renaissance that's happening in the Indigenous community. I mean, there's a lot of things that could be like initiatives, art, business, all kinds of things that could be initiatives that would actually promote authentic engagement with that Indigenous culture versus what we kind of are guilty of doing all the time, which is, you know, slapping a couple of Hawaiian words on some apparel and hoping that people buy it just because of the sheer marketability of those islands. And like I said, this does kind of relate to the wildfires and the aftermath of it, because a lot of Hawaiian words, a lot of Hawaiian locations are trending online, and this is causing people more and more and more, without understanding whatever the hell they're talking about, to cash in by, you know, either marketing, either hashtags through videos and things like that. I think I've already covered the screaming all caps beardos phenomenon of people engaging in conspiratorial theories for views in the aftermath of this tragedy, which once again does not benefit the Indigenous Hawaiian culture. Because at the end of the day, when all is said and done, when all of this tragedy is supposedly going to be over, it's not over. Mm-mm. There's still going to be long-standing conversations that need to happen, and we need to analyze exactly if we're appreciating Hawaiians or appropriating them from now on. If you liked what you heard, subscribe, share, leave a review, and see you next time.